It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. Last month, for the first time in its history, cuts were made across America to the food stamp program now called SNAP, which stands for Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program. Pennsylvania's program has lost $183 million, and the impact is being felt by families and food banks, even more so at this time of year when there's a greater need. So how are families surviving, and how can they be helped? I'm joined now by phone from Harrisburg by Catherine Buhrig, Division Director in the Bureau of Policy for the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare. Catherine Buhrig, thanks for joining us.
Sure. Good to be with you today.
Also with us in Studio A is Ken Regal. He's Executive Director of Just Harvest, which helps people apply for SNAP benefits. Ken Regal, good to have you back with us.
Hi, Paul. Good to be here.
And you can join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm. And you can reach us on Twitter at ESSPGH and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Are you or someone you know being impacted by cuts to the food stamp program? Share your story with us. 412-246-2002. Ken Regal, Republicans in Congress who pushed for these cuts in food stamp benefits say that this is actually a rollback of an increase based on President Obama's federal stimulus plan, which has run out. What do you say to this?
Well, what we say is that, yes, technically that's the case. The benefits were increased in 2009, and that temporary increase was rolled back. That's cold comfort to somebody who started being eligible for food stamps in March or July or 2 months ago and is suddenly receiving fewer benefits than when they originally became eligible. We also recognize very clearly that the amount of benefits in the increase in 2009 was specifically because those benefits are inadequate and have been inadequate. This was an effort to improve the situation for people desperately in need, and rolling that back causes human misery.
So as far as you're concerned, where we stand now with the benefits, are you saying that they are inadequate?
Absolutely.
Senator Bob Casey has called the cuts unacceptable. He's seeking to not only avoid further cuts, but to increase SNAP benefits to their pre-November levels. What do you think about the stance that he is taking?
I think it's courageous. I think it's powerful. And I think it's an uphill battle. We know right now that the House and Senate are in conference committee negotiations over more extensive cuts in food stamps that were at different levels of cuts were approved separately earlier in the year by the House and Senate, and getting those reconciled in an agreement for a future farm bill looks right now like additional cuts are coming, not across the board cuts like we had October 31st, but cuts nonetheless, and we stand 100% behind Senator Casey and hope that his colleagues will also stand strong in favor of adequate funding for food stamps.
Now, those in Congress who support these cuts at the federal level say that this is what you need to do in order to lower the deficit. What about that?
Well, the budget for food stamps this current year wound up being in the neighborhood of $75 billion. The Congress yesterday approved $81 billion for next year to fight the war in Afghanistan, a war that we actually won. We conquered the government of Afghanistan and installed a government of our own liking more than a decade ago, but we're still spending $81 billion on that war. I don't remember hearing in the debate about that whether we had the money because there was a big deficit.
Catherine Buhrig, how would you characterize this cut in federal food stamp benefits and how it impacts those in the state of Pennsylvania who are in need?
I think that the cuts in SNAP benefits are a tremendous impact to those who are in need in Pennsylvania.
Kate Gillis, who is a spokesperson for the State Department of Public Welfare, called the 5.4% cut a small decrease. So apparently you are you differ in your opinion, in your assessment of the cut.
I think for an individual who is low income to lose $11 a month, based on the income that they have, that it is an impact to them and to their budget and to how they need to manage their money and how they're going to manage to put food on the table.
Explain how this whole system works. Who qualifies for SNAP benefits?
In order to qualify for SNAP benefits, individuals must be below the federal poverty income guideline. In Pennsylvania, that limit is somewhere between 133% to 200%, depending on the composition in your household. Once we look at your income, then we also need to assess your resources. Individuals who have household members with elderly or disabled members cannot have resources above $9,000. Households without an elderly or disabled member must have resources below $5,500. Then we take into account your expenses in order to determine your benefit amount.
Now, the head of the Department of Public Welfare, Beverly McAreth, says that she is rethinking the food stamp asset test. There is a food stamp asset test in Pennsylvania that ties the federal benefits people receive to their bank accounts and car ownership. Is this something that needs to be done, and what are the state's plans?
It is being reviewed at this time. I also know that at a federal level, the House bill that was passed would re-implement an asset test, and the department continues to look at the statistics that we have to determine what is best for the people in Pennsylvania.
The thinking here seems to be shifting, though, somewhat, that while you are trying to prevent fraud and abuse of the system, there's also a concern that if the test is too complicated, if there's too much paperwork for people to have to do, that you're going to lose people through the cracks who do qualify for these benefits, who are in need and who are not getting the benefits. Is there, would you be able to say that there's a shift in the thinking at the Department of Welfare right now about this?
I think the department is just relooking at the cost-benefit analysis based on the fact that we've had an asset test for a year and a half now and that we have some additional statistics to look at and measure to determine what the decision should be.
Has the test, in fact, saved the state money?
I believe that analysis is still being reviewed.
Ken Riegel, is there a legitimate concern about weeding out fraud and abuse of the system? And if so, I mean, shouldn't this be somewhat of a priority for the state of Pennsylvania?
There are problems with waste and abuse in every program, whether it's a public sector program or private sector program or private business or charity, there are always such problems. The question is whether you make life miserable for 100 innocent people to catch the one guilty one, or whether you you understand that some of the built-in costs are that no program is perfect. And I think our position consistently has been that the vast, vast, vast majority of people on food stamps are legitimately in need, that the systems are already in place to verify people's eligibility, and in fact, those processes are already very, very difficult for people. Making them more difficult will cost taxpayers money, not save them money, and that that the claims about waste, fraud, and abuse are vastly overstated by people who have never stood in solidarity with people who are deeply in need, who have always looked for excuses to cut and cut and cut.
We're talking about food stamp benefits, the cut in SNAP benefits. Ken Riegel, Executive Director of Just Harvest, is our guest, along with Catherine Buhrig, who is Division Director in the Bureau of Policy for the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare. We welcome your input. We'd like you to join the conversation by calling 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. What is your opinion of this policy? What do you think should be done going forward? And we'd love to hear your story of someone who's been impacted by cuts to the food stamp program. You may be that someone. Share your story with us at 412-246-2002. Catherine Buhrig, how can the state fill the gap for citizens in need? What are some of the things that you're doing in light of what we're seeing as a growing problem, particularly at this time of year?
One of the things that the state does is we do contract with groups such as Just Harvest and Ken Legal to assist people to apply for benefits who may be eligible to receive SNAP.
Are we seeing a gap being filled here, or is it a gap that is growing?
It's a gap that we struggle to try to fill. It's an ongoing effort to reach out into the community to find people who may not realize that they're eligible, who may be embarrassed to seek help, or more likely in the case of the work that we're doing at Just Harvest, people who have faced enormous barriers already in applying for benefits, haven't been able to reach the welfare department office on the phone, have faced 3 and 4 hour waits to be seen at a welfare office, have had problems having their paperwork processed. We've been working to make the department more aware of these problems and to work towards institutional solutions to those kinds of barriers to benefits. But fundamentally, we're very concerned that part of that gap in who's eligible but not receiving benefits like food stamps are a problem of our own making collectively as a community for not putting the resources into the welfare department that need to be there to serve people adequately.
Catherine and Ken, is enough being done to get the word out or to clarify how a person becomes eligible and how they can apply for these benefits?
We're doing everything we can on a consistent basis to try to get that word out there through media coverage like this, through social media, through community presentations, through flyers and local publicity in neighborhoods and grocery stores, in local businesses at farmers markets, which can now in the city of Pittsburgh accept food stamps because of the work of Just Harvest, using all of those tools at our disposal to try to get the word out. But we still face enormous gaps between the number of people who are probably eligible and the number of people who are actually receiving benefits, and we're consistently trying to close that gap.
Catherine, what about what Ken is saying? Is there, in fact, a backlog of people trying to get information? Are there, in fact, long waits? And if so, what is the state doing to try to alleviate some of those problems?
It's my understanding that the department has reviewed the Just Harvest report with discussions about long wait times, et cetera, and there is a group who is under discussion. I know the secretary has asked anyone who has had issues to contact her directly and has reached out to Just Harvest to provide that information to her in order to make the situation better.
Are we seeing increased need out there?
It's difficult to gauge. The number of people who are actually receiving benefits has gone up substantially since the Great Recession began. It has gone up and down. We get phone calls, obviously, at Just Harvest every day from people looking for help in applying for food stamp benefits, and it's all we can do with our small staff to keep up with that demand. There's clearly growing demand in the charitable sector for help apart from the public safety net, much of that from people already receiving those benefits, which, as I described earlier, are not adequate to meet people's needs. But we know that there's a vast unmet need. Whether that vast unmet need is growing or shrinking, there's very little way to document that.
Are there people who are in need of these benefits or who are seeking help who haven't traditionally been out there looking for help in the past? And is that part of does that feed into part of what you identified as a problem, that some people are just simply embarrassed about the situation they're in?
It's difficult to gauge, and we're trying to make the process of understanding that more rigorous. We're trying to do some better research on where those gaps exist. It's a challenge to understand individually whether somebody is not pursuing a program that they might be eligible for because they're embarrassed or for some other underlying reason. What we do know is that lots of people try to apply and are discouraged because of the complexity of the process, a process that is complex because of our existing efforts as a community to weed out the ineligible and to make people prove that they're eligible. That process is intimidating, and it's complicated, and it trips a lot of people up.
Catherine, if someone is listening to this program who is in need of help and has been frustrated to the point where they have just about given up, what do you suggest that they do?
I believe in general, in order to apply for benefits, you can apply either via our online Compass application or by paper application. And when you complete your application, what you would need basically is, if you do have some source of income outside of things like Social Security or unemployment, we would need verification of your pay stubs. If you have housing expenses, it does assist us. If you provide your rent and utility information so that we can give you the deductions that you need, and if you can provide at least the Social Security number of the person who's applying and complete the application as thoroughly as you can. Once we have completed applications, people should be aware that there is an interview requirement, and oftentimes what happens is we schedule an interview and then we're unable to contact the person, and then we have difficulty getting back in touch with them. And so please be aware, if you do apply, that there is an interview requirement, that you will have to speak with a caseworker in order to discuss the information on your application, and that is a federal requirement that we must have completed in order to approve.
Catherine Buehrig is Division Director in the Bureau of Policy for the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare, joining us by phone from Harrisburg, and with us here in Studio A, Ken Riegel, Executive Director of Just Harvest. Thank you both for being with us. We appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Coming up, we'll learn how food banks are meeting the challenges at this crucial time of year. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA. It's Essential Pittsburgh. I'm Paul Guggenheimer. This holiday season and the cuts to the state's SNAP, Supplemental Nutrition Assistance Program, are resulting in an increased need for donations to local food banks. How are food banks in our area meeting the needs of so many? I'm joined now by Lisa Scales. She's Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, with us here in Studio A. Lisa Scales, welcome to the program.
Thank you, Paul. Good to be here.
And also with us is Jay Paluziani, director of the Northside Common Ministries, whose food pantry is benefiting from Pittsburgh Foundation's year-end match program to help several community food pantries. Jay Paluziani, thank you so much for being with us here.
My pleasure.
On Essential Pittsburgh. If you have a comment or question for either of our guests, our number is 412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. Our email address is esspgh@wesa.fm, and you can reach us on Twitter at esspgh and follow the conversation at #EPLive. Share your story with us of how cuts to the food stamp program have impacted you. What has it been like for you to find enough food to feed your family during this holiday season, especially if you are out of work or have fallen on hard times, as so many in the country and in our area have? Lisa Scales, let me begin with you. What are the residual effects of these cuts? What are you seeing at the Pittsburgh Area Food Bank?
Well, at our we have an amazing network of food pantries that distribute over 2 million pounds of food each month to 110,000 people in southwestern Pennsylvania. And we're very concerned about the impact the cuts will have on this network. Not only will people who already go to a food pantry for assistance, they will be asking for more food, but we're concerned of the impact on people who currently do not go to a food pantry. We believe that they will start to see a sharp increase in the numbers of people in need.
When you heard about the cuts and did, as many have, the math here and looked at what the breakdown is for a family of four, surviving on or trying to survive on $1.75 per person per meal. What is your reaction to the situation that we're seeing in this country?
Well, we're cutting the benefits of our most vulnerable citizens. 3/4 of the people who receive SNAP benefits are parents of young children, senior citizens, and people with disabilities. And over 80% of the people who receive SNAP live at or below 100% of poverty. And to put that in perspective, that's for a family of three, that's less than $20,000 a year. Over 80% of the people who receive these benefits have very low income. So it's a great concern that we have.
Jay Paluziani, what kind of folks are you seeing who are in need of help and are coming to your food pantry to get it?
The number of folks has increased continuously each year in the past 5 or 6 years. We're probably about 30% higher in the number of people that we're seeing this year than we were about 4 years ago. And a lot of the increase is individuals who are working poor, people who traditionally donated product to us for our food pantry at church food drives or work food drives are now working very low-wage jobs, very few hours a week, needing to support their families, and they're actually relying on our food pantries. So most of our increase has been the working poor over the last few years.
And what makes this an especially challenging time of year?
Well, people are under a lot of pressure. Our culture encourages people to overspend on the holidays, buy more gifts for their children than maybe they need to, but that's certainly what commercials are teaching them and what their kids are hoping for. And then also at this time of year, they're dealing with lots of additional utility bills. We operate in our facility a utility assistance program as well. The numbers of people that show up at this time of year dramatically increase. And this year, the numbers are far higher than they were in the past. So in order to keep up with those bills and keep their utilities on and make for a happy holiday, they have to find other resources, and the food pantries are taking the hit.
How many more people are living in poverty, and particularly children? That seems to be one area in particular that's been identified as growing in number. How many children do we have living in poverty who, as a result, are not getting enough to eat and are undernourished here in the United States of America?
Well, I know just in our 11-county service area of southwestern Pennsylvania, over 19% of the families we serve have children who are at risk of hunger. You know, all too often we see parents who are choosing to skip a meal so that their children can eat. But in the city of Pittsburgh alone, 1 in 3 people are eligible for our services. And in our region, 13% of people suffer from hunger. And again, many of those families we serve do have young children in the household.
At the other end of the spectrum, you have seniors who we hear are forced to make choices such as, do I buy food? Do I put food on the table? Or do I get my medicine? Is that happening? Are you seeing that?
It's absolutely happening. There are lots more seniors these days raising their grandchildren and, you know, really taking on extra burdens. And with the cost of medications, that's one of the things. They're cutting their medicines in half. They're taking half of the portion that they should be taking. And that's only going to lead to longer-term problems and other issues that have to be addressed by social service agencies and hospitals. And it's worse for all the healthcare industry as well.
How are you dealing with cuts to SNAP, cuts to benefits, or simply being out of a job, out of work, or underemployed at a difficult time of year, at a difficult time for many families? We'd like you to share your stories with us. What choices have you had to make? How are you dealing with the situation? And where would you suggest that people go for help? Who has helped you? 412-246-2002 is the number to call to share your story with us here on Essential Pittsburgh. Again, 412-246-2002. 2002. We're talking with Lisa Scales, who is Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, and also Jay Paluziani, Director of the Northside Common Ministries. And I'm sure that there is extra pressure on food pantries at this time of year. Describe how different it's been maybe this year than it has in the past. Jay, we'll start with you.
We see an increase. Over the last few years, there's been an increase in the number of people that we serve every year when we compare it to the year before. Last year, December was our highest month, and we served 1,069 individuals in a one-month period. That doesn't mean 1,069 individuals got food. That actually represents families as well. So you're looking at well over 3,000 individuals that accessed food from us. That number last year in December was about 30% higher than it was just a year before. So the numbers are continuing to increase. And we saw this past November that we went over 1,000 individuals, which was close to 100 more than we had seen a year before in November. So the number continues to increase in the need as a result.
Lisa, what are you seeing at the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank?
Well, Paul, in addition to our food pantry serving more and more people every month, we're concerned because the actual food donations have decreased over the past several years. The food manufacturers have become so efficient. We're not seeing the amount of food that we would like to be able to distribute to our member agencies. And that's very troubling to us indeed.
And how much more pressure is this putting on you in terms of meeting the demand? And are you able to meet the demand?
Well, we've heard from some of our pantries that they've actually started to distribute less food to people in need. And again, we want to do everything that we can to provide even more food to the families. More food to more families is really what we're trying to do right now. And we do believe with the community coming together, and we've seen a number of groups that have provided, have conducted food drives. And so we're starting to see more food coming in right now. But we want to see that continue for sure, because every month, every day, people need to eat. And so we need to keep up those amount of food drives and other product coming into our warehouse so that we can get that to our agencies.
Yeah, so frequently with donations, in the past we relied heavily on churches doing great drives, and the churches are still a big supporter, and private industry is a big supporter of food drives as well. But churches, there's less people in the churches these days, and they're struggling financially as well. So we can't really completely rely on that as a resource. But we're working with private industry to try to find other connections to build on those food drives.
412-246-2002. That's 412-246-2002. And I would ask our listeners if they have been helping food banks or purchasing additional groceries to donate. One of the things that that I've heard, and you can tell me if this is true, but that people who used to donate, one of the problems in coming up with enough food to take care of people in need is that people who used to donate in the past are now coming to get food. Are you seeing this, Lisa and Jay?
We see this all the time. That's not unusual, especially in the past year, that people who used to volunteer at food pantries or make donations have found themselves in need of food for themselves and their families.
Yeah. Many of our most dedicated volunteers are folks who rely on our pantries. But the numbers of folks that, again, who are coming to our pantries and are working and donated to us in the past has drastically increased over the years.
So in addition to the strain of just trying to meet the needs of people, how much does that wear on you when you see someone that was helping you in the past that now needs help from you? That must be an extraordinarily difficult scene to comprehend and deal with.
Yeah, it certainly is for our staff, because they're familiar with these individuals, at a different level, and they want to be as helpful as possible. And we try to provide as much information about all the resources that are out there that can be beneficial to their families, not just food, because generally the situation is that food is not their only need. They need other assistance as well. And I know that our organization, the Food Bank, and many others are committed to a holistic approach, making sure that folks are really being looked at in a holistic way, and their needs are being met.
What about the Pittsburgh Foundation's matching donation program, which was announced this week? The Northside Community Ministries will benefit from the program. How much does that help?
That's amazing. We were thrilled when we got that phone call, because what happens now at this time of year, as Lisa referenced earlier, people are very generous at this time of year. Folks are dropping off things on a continuous basis. It's a beautiful every day to see how committed individuals are. So food is coming into some of the pantries. But come January, February, March, that completely stops. The checks stop coming in and the food stops coming in. But the people are still out in line. When I got to work this morning at 8 in the morning, our food pantry was not opening until 9:30, and there were 30 people standing outside an hour and a half before we would even open the doors. So we would see clearly 100 people that day. And, you know, every day in January and February, those numbers are going to be similar, but the food isn't going to be there. So the money from the Pittsburgh Foundation is going to go into a pot over at the food bank so that when we need to place an order, we have some money there that we can purchase from, and it's going to make it much easier for us.
We're talking with Jay Paluziani, Director of Northside Common Ministries, and also Lisa Scales, Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, about meeting the needs of hungry people whose benefits have been cut at a difficult time of year. 412-246-2002, the number to call to join the conversation. We have Bill in Fox Chapel on the line. Bill, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Hello.
Thank you for being with us. How are you?
Good, good. And thank you guys for the work you're doing. I wondered if you could tell people where they might send money or how they might help these groups to get over this shortfall.
Lisa, start with you.
Great question, Bill. Thank you for that. You can call the food bank at 412-460-3663 or visit our website at pittsburghfoodbank.org.
And for on our end, the Pittsburgh Foundation's challenge grant is the perfect place to do that because that's going to actually bring additional dollars to us. We do have a website. It's northsidefoodpantry.com, I believe. It's a newer website. But there is a Donate Now button on there as well. You can become a sustaining member, just like you are here at WUSA. You can be a sustaining member of the Northside Common Ministries Food Pantry.
Bill in Fox Chapel, thank you. Hopefully there are others like you who are out there who are willing to help. Do you find that in the heat of trying to assess needs and take care of people that sometimes the word maybe doesn't get out? For example, here's someone who wants to help who didn't have the information. Do you feel that you're doing what you need to do to effectively get the information out to the people who can provide the help?
Well, we're doing what we can. Again, we're all nonprofits, and a very small portion of our budget goes to marketing.
Right.
You know,
sure.
Our goal is to get as much money to the individual to serve the needs for those individuals. So marketing is a challenge for us.
Are there areas like that where people can donate their services to help, to provide help?
Yeah, let me chime in on that one, because just within the last couple of months, a group of neighbors from the Mexican War Streets came together, and they did exactly that. They created that website that is there for us, the Northside Food Pantry website. And it was completely a donation, all their own time and their labor and their talents, and it's made a huge difference in the amount of food and the amount of money that's coming into us in just a month. So yes, there's definitely room for that.
We have so much generous support from the community, from individuals, families, religious groups, corporations, foundation community, but there's so many ways to get involved. You can not only donate dollars, but donate your time. We have many wonderful volunteer opportunities, such as Northside Common Ministries does as well, throughout our whole network, to either volunteer your time at the food bank at our warehouse facility or out in the community at one of our over 400 food pantries. Lots of opportunities from kindergarten age up through seniors. So we welcome groups of all sizes, all ages, to come and volunteer with us, to donate money if you're able to. And then finally, to advocate, to speak out. Hunger is a hidden problem, and we see people every day who are hungry. We just don't realize that. But it is a solvable problem, and it really takes us all coming together, the community coming together, to solve hunger. And I know we can do it. We can make a difference in people's lives.
412-246-2002, the number to call. Let's go to Tim in Pleasant Hills. Tim, welcome to Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you, Paul. I enjoy your show very much.
Thank you.
The comments of your guests in regard to people who were once donors and are now recipients connected with me. About three weeks ago, I saw Robert Reich's new documentary, Inequality for All, at CMU.
Yeah, he was here to talk about that on the program, in fact. What did you think of the film?
I thought it was outstanding. I think everybody should see it. I mean, the fact of the matter is that CMU's theater was completely packed. They had to turn people away. But the point I'm making is that, you know, if you see that film, you understand how broken the system is and how big an issue this is. And it just seems like, you know, it just keeps getting skewed more and more in the wrong direction. And I that kind of connects right back to the folks who are now, you know, recipients of food service rather than being donors. I mean, it just seems to get worse, and it's going to be a big political issue coming forward. So hopefully that your guests and those like them will get some help, you know, through the political system. We're going to change this around.
And Tim, when you say that we're going in the wrong direction, what exactly do you mean? I just want to clarify.
Well, what I'm saying is that if there's another 8-minute video out there that shows through infographics how skewed the wealth is in the country, that, you know, 1% or less of the population owns 40% of the wealth, and the bottom two tiers just almost completely disappear from the scale. You know, the wealth in the country seems to be going one way, and there's 3 people for every job. It just seems to be not getting any better with time for people on the ground. And those people at the lowest end of the scale seem to keep suffering more and more. And you know, we're all stressed, I think, at this point.
Tim, I'm guessing that you speak for quite a few people. Jay and Lisa, what about what Tim is saying?
You are so right on that. Just in southwestern Pennsylvania alone, over 375,000 of our neighbors are hungry and live in poverty. And that just shouldn't happen in America. We still have kids every night who go to bed hungry. Seniors, as we've alluded to, seniors who have to choose between buying food and buying medicine. Parents who skip meals so their kids can eat. And it just shouldn't happen.
Yeah, there was a great article in the city paper this week. One of our food pantry recipients was featured there, and she talked about how her children, sometimes she has to deny them an extra bowl of cereal in the morning. I know when I grew up, a child of the mills, you know, my family made a decent wage, and we had meat every night on the table, and we had as much cereal as we wanted. But, you know, now people that are coming here are really struggling. They're not getting meat every night, and they're having to deny their children the extra bowl of cereal that they might want.
Tim, thank you for that call. Lisa, there was another point you wanted to make.
Just very quickly, Paul, just to say that fighting hunger is a private and public partnership. It takes both the public entities and private individuals to come together to fight hunger. And there is a big role for the government, both local, state, and federal government. And SNAP is the number one line of defense to hunger. And so the role the food banks play and our food pantries play is critically important, but it is grossly overshadowed by the amount of food assistance provided by the federal government in particular. And so there's certainly a role there for the government, and we want to see them keep that at that very high level, because we cannot serve the people we do without the federal government's support.
Can you, in the positions that you hold, can you be advocates? Can you actively lobby the government? Can you say, for example, can you join Senator Casey's effort to fight the cuts, or are you prohibited from being politically involved?
We are able, a very small amount of time we can spend on education or lobbying efforts. That's less than 20% of our time on that effort. So we do have a government affairs department at the food bank, and we do join with others to advocate to prohibit the cuts, and also to encourage state government. The state food purchase program, very important program for us in our network of food pantries. And we do go to Harrisburg and advocate to increase that amount of money to benefit our hungry neighbors.
On a food pantry level, we are regularly encouraging the people that use our pantry to advocate as well. They're the least heard of, and they need the services the most, but they're the least heard in Washington. So we're always encouraging them to be a part of that process.
Do you see the state of Pennsylvania reconsidering some of what they are asking people to do in terms of a food stamp asset test. Have you weighed in on that in Harrisburg?
I don't know whether that will happen or not. We would love to see that happen. We would love the government to reconsider that. So we are we pay attention to a number of issues that impact the families we serve, and that is certainly one of them.
Well, I want to thank both of you for being with us. Lisa Scales is Chief Executive Officer of the Greater Pittsburgh Community Food Bank, and Jay Paluziani, Director of Northside Common Ministries. Appreciate you both being here and discussing this very important issue with us on Essential Pittsburgh.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you.
Coming up, you know what 911 is and 411 is for, but what about 211? We'll explain. It's Essential Pittsburgh on 90.5 WESA.